Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success today. We're speaking with Mr. Jack Plotkin. He is the CEO of Cardinal Solutions, a boutique advisory and investment firm based in New York City that has worked with firms across the healthcare, life sciences, consumer, and real estate sectors. Mr. Plotkin, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Certainly great to have you out and really appreciate your time. So for starters, and an interesting question for you today, why is fantasy football relevant for today's business audience? Let's start there.
Yeah, so I think it absolutely is. Over the last three decades, fantasy sports have just exploded. You go from around 5 million people playing fantasy in the 1990s to 20 million in the 2000s to 60 million now. And 80% of these folks are playing fantasy football. That's nearly 50 million fantasy football players. You know what this means? Just about every business person you meet either plays themselves or knows somebody who plays fantasy football. During the NFL regular season, more people play fantasy football than go to the gym or go to the movies or go to music concerts. So when you're sitting at a business dinner, it's about three times more likely that the person sitting next to you plays fantasy football than that they watch Game of Thrones. So I would say that fantasy football has actually never been more relevant than it is right now. And even if you don't play fantasy football, it sure helps to understand a little bit about what it is, how it works, and why it has such a tremendous following.
Interesting facts to kick things off here today. Certainly grabbed the attention of the sports enthusiast for sure. Now, does a sports-based leisure game really have anything useful to offer for real-world business management?
Yeah, so fantasy football may be a game, but so is any sport. And as we know, sports have a tremendous amount to teach us about things like discipline, teamwork, organization, management, and so on. Before we talk about how fantasy football is a useful tool for business, and believe me, it is, let's talk a little bit about how fantasy football works. Most of our listeners probably already know this, so I'll keep it short and sweet. Fantasy football, you join a league. Usually you're playing with anywhere from 7 to 15 other people. These people may be friends, work colleagues, fellow students, folks you met online, people from your church choir, really anybody that you know. So first, you do a draft where you take turns drafting real-life players for your teams. When the NFL season starts, you play other teams in your league every week using a fantasy football app like CBS Sports or maybe Yahoo to track each player's real-life performance. If your players put up more points in their real-life games than the players on the team you're facing, then you win that week. The teams with the most wins advance to the playoffs at the end of the season. During the season, you can trade players with other teams and pick up undrafted players. You can also start, bench, or drop players from your team. So this makes for a lot of dynamic decision-making. There are a lot of parallels here with real-world teams, including drafting, starting, and replacing players, and targeting specific results both weekly and over the long term.
I've actually been involved in fantasy football leagues in the past. This year, time didn't allow it, but I've actually done pretty well. Should have jumped on it this year. Regret that I haven't. What makes you an authority, forgive me for asking, on fantasy football and business?
Well, by this point in my career, I've advised dozens of Fortune 500 companies across pretty much every major industry. I've built successful teams and game-changing products and published research and thought leadership. So I think that gives me a credible perspective on the business side. On the fantasy front, I've been playing fantasy football like you. I've been doing it for about 7 years now as part of a highly competitive league. The guys in the league are whip smart. They take the game very seriously, maybe even too seriously in some cases. The league has generally been either 12 or 14 teams. Everybody has their eyes on the prize. It's a kind of league where undrafted players who go off and put up tons of points are pretty much always already on a team. People really do their homework. So it's a tough league. Even putting the trash talking aside, it's a tough league. And I've won this league before. I am in first place this season. So I feel like I have pretty good fantasy football bona fides.
Certainly have the experience on both ends, no doubt there. Today we're joined by Mr. Jack Plotkin, the CEO of Cardinal Solutions, a boutique advisory and investment firm based in New York City, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, what can fantasy football teach us about hiring? That's an interesting perspective as well.
Right. So let me preface this by saying that fantasy is fantasy and real life is real life. When you're hiring an employee, that is a huge decision for you, for your company, and for the person you're hiring. And fantasy football is just not that important. Business decisions and fantasy football decisions are nowhere near the same order of magnitude. We're not talking different zip codes or ballparks. We're talking completely different galaxies. I want to be clear on that. With that said, fantasy football definitely offers some useful lessons. When you draft a team, you're planning ahead for the whole season. Sometimes you'll draft a great player who is ineligible to play for several weeks because you know they're going to be a star when they retake the field, and you can get them cheap right now. Other times you'll wait on a particular position until later in the draft because you know that the difference between the number one player and the number 10 player at that position is just not that much. Now let's look at hiring. Just like in a fantasy draft, you have to think long-term when you hire an employee. Not just the next quarter, but the next 2, 3, 5 years. If the position is vital to your business, then you should not pull the trigger quickly. It may take you a few more weeks to find the right person for the job, and you may have to pay them more than you planned. But it's well worth it because you're thinking long term. What's a few weeks or a few more dollars compared to years of actual work that this person will do for your company? Sometimes the job you're hiring for has a lot of solid employees available, and the difference between a good specialist and the best specialist is not that big. For example, a company that hires an extraordinary office manager will probably be just about as well off as a company that hires an office manager who is just good. But a company that hires an extraordinary sales executive is going to make a lot more money than a company that hires a sales executive who's just good. In fantasy football terms, we call this relative value. The lower the relative value for a position, the less critical it is that we fill that position with an exceptionally gifted employee. Relative value tells you which positions you should be willing to overpay for extraordinary talent. Finally, you never want to hire an employee that you don't think will succeed in the job long term. In fantasy football, the number of roster spots you have is very limited. Leagues have different rules, but usually you'll have 10 starting spots and 6 bench spots. That forces you to be very disciplined with your choices. It also makes you realize that every spot matters. And there are consequences for hiring a subpar candidate. Not only does it mean that you're going to invest time and resources into someone who will not work out in the long term, but it also means that you're incurring a huge opportunity cost in terms of someone better that you could have hired but didn't.
Certainly got to love the angle on this. I certainly can appreciate it and a good listen for sure. Now, taking that even further, what can fantasy football teach us about managing teams?
Well, let's get one thing straight right away. You don't get to talk to your fantasy football players the way you get to talk to your employees. If you tried to approach one of your fantasy football players in real life and tried to tell him how to play, I don't think that would go too well for you. I mean, these guys tackle other guys for a living, right? But even though you don't get to talk to your players, you do get to decide how to manage your fantasy team from the perspective of whom to start in any given week. This is not as simple as it may seem. Let's say you have Kenny Golladay, the number one wide receiver on the Detroit Lions. It's a no-brainer to start him, right? Well, not necessarily. If the Detroit Lions are playing the Minnesota Vikings that week, which has a tremendous pass defense, then Kenny is likely to get blanketed. Instead, you're better off starting the Lions' number two wide receiver, especially if he's as dynamic as Marvin Jones. That's exactly what happened a few weeks ago when the Lions played the Vikings. I started Marvin, and he produced a monster game, catching four touchdowns, one game. So how does that translate to managing your team at work? Well, every team has its star players, but that doesn't mean they should always get the most important projects. If you only push your stars, then they'll burn out while your other team members become disengaged. Just like in fantasy, a great business team is well-rounded. And in any given week, any of the team members could go off, meaning produce a transformative idea or an exceptional deliverable or a game-changing client relationship. Fantasy football also teaches us that every player's contribution is equally important to team success. Your score each week is the sum total of every player's individual score, and they're all weighted the same. I think this is actually a perfect analogy for business teams. There are no unimportant team members. Everybody matters. And as a manager, you have to make sure that every person on the team is clear on the importance of their individual contribution.
Now, here's a great question for you. What can fantasy football teach us about dealing with underperformers? You've certainly got that in fantasy football for sure.
Well, that's a tough topic, but it is important. Just like in fantasy football, real-life underperformance, they bring down the whole team and really keep you from winning. There are two parts to this, in my opinion: identifying underperformers and letting underperformers go. In fantasy, a player can have a bad week or even a string of bad weeks. Sometimes it's because of game script. You could have the best running back in the league, but if his team falls behind by 20 points, they're probably going to pass a lot more than run. So when a player underperforms, your job is to figure out if the underperformance is a fluke or a trend. It's the same with business teams. When an employee is delivering late or putting out bad work product, you have to figure out if it's a one-off or a pattern. And fantasy football teaches us that past performance is not always an accurate predictor of future performance. After a certain injury or a certain age or being traded to a new team, some players drop off a cliff. So if you have an employee who has done tremendous work in the past but is starting to underperform, should you give them a second chance? Well, of course, I think you should, but you have to keep an eye on the situation. The person may just be having a bad week or two, but they may also have burned out or may no longer be as engaged, or maybe they were a great player when you were a smaller company but are not a fit at your current size. You have to be very clear-eyed about what's going on. Once you've identified someone is an underperformer, it is a trend, and despite your best efforts, all second chances have failed, it is time to let them go. In fantasy football, players are generally replaced rather than just dropped. The same applies to business teams. Before letting someone go, you have to decide how the person's responsibilities will be replaced. Do you hire someone new? Do you promote from within? Do you distribute their responsibilities to existing team members and eliminate the role? Whatever the decision is, you have to act quickly and transparently. In fantasy, the entire league is notified the moment you drop or replace a player on your team, and they can check that player's statistics and see why you did it. Similarly, in business, you have to make sure that everyone in the company who works with your team is aware of the change and understands the reasons for the change. Transparency is as important to maintaining your existing team as it is to letting folks go in the right way.
Certainly do like the information shared here today and the topic. Really appreciate it, and I really appreciate your input and bringing your expertise to the table as well. As we conclude today, what qualities do great fantasy team coaches share with effective business leaders? Let's wrap things up here today with that.
Yeah, so that's a great question. look, just because you've won your fantasy league 5 years in a row doesn't mean you're an amazing manager, right? And I know plenty of amazing managers, I'm sure you do as well, that are terrible at fantasy football. So there is not a one-to-one correlation here. With that said, I do think there are some things that successful managers and winning fantasy football coaches both do. First, they both do their homework. Great fantasy coaches know all the players at key positions in the league. They study real-life coaching patterns, they learn about matchups, and they closely follow the sport on and off the field throughout the season. Similarly, effective business managers know the strengths and weaknesses of everybody on their team. They study management approaches. They learn about dealing with different types of deliverables, and they closely follow their company and their industry. Second, they're both long-term thinkers. Great fantasy coaches plan for the entire season. They ensure they have proper coverage during bye weeks. They evaluate players based on multi-game trends. Same way, effective business managers plan for at least a full year. They ensure they have proper coverage during PTO and holidays, and they evaluate team members based on work product, not on any one situation, any one day, but over weeks and months. Third, they both have a team-first mentality. Great fantasy coaches do not allow their personal preferences for a specific player to take precedence over what's best for the team. I may personally be a Buffalo Bills fan and root for their quarterback, but if he's not putting up the points my team needs, I shouldn't be starting him. Same vein, effective managers do not allow their personal likes and dislikes to dictate who gets promoted or who gets let go. I may really enjoy socializing with a team member, but if he's not performing at the level required, then I have to do what's best for the team. Finally, great fantasy coaches and effective managers both care about winning, and they are prepared to be creative to get there. What do you do in fantasy when your number one draft pick gets injured in week one? What do you do in business when your venture capital funding gets pulled at the 11th hour? And by the way, both have happened to me. So do you just give up? Do you write off the whole season or the whole business? Or do you start thinking outside the box and find a way to win? Last season, I lost three of my top four draft picks within the first 2 weeks. A third of my team wiped out, and this is the best third of my team, before the season really got underway. Would have been easy to give up, but I made moves, I made pickups, I got creative, and I was able to turn my season around. Nearly made the playoffs, I was one game away. So, of course, we're all going to fail, but it's only permanent if you don't get back up. As long as you keep getting up, failure is temporary, and success is inevitable. I really believe that. Jimmy Fallon had a funny quote. He said, "Thank you, fantasy football, for making me realize that even in my fantasies, I'm bad at sports." So I'm going to turn that around. I'm going to say, "Thank you, fantasy football, for making me realize that even a fantasy game can have positive real-world applications."
Well, Mr. Plotkin, really appreciate your time and all the information shared here today, and the angle, of course, as I've mentioned, certainly appreciate that. If listeners wanted to get more information on your firm, Cardinal Solutions, or to be in touch, where's the best place online to get further information?
Yeah, so cardinalsoul.com, and absolutely would welcome them reaching out to me directly through the website or any of my social media.
Good enough. Again, Mr. Plotkin, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Thank you very much, and all the best to you and your listeners.
And thank you for that. We've been speaking with Mr. Jack Plotkin. He is the CEO of Cardinal Solutions, a boutique advisory and investment firm based in New York City. And for all the details, visit CardinalSoul.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.